we all have gathered here by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his followers to celebrate the Govardhan Puja festival. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he used to say that in this one bhajan we find the entire spiritual world described. And he would sing that bhajan before every of his class. Jai Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari. So we'll begin with that bhajan, meditating on the beautiful pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, and specifically the pastime of Krishna lifting the Govardhan hill. Therefore he got the name Girivara Dhari. Hare Krishna.
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनाचारी तीरावनाचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनाचारी यमुना तीरावनाचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Nittai Gaur Haribol, 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 Gaur Haribol.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashto Dashata Sri Srimad His Divine Grace of the Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya Naram jaiva narottamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Tato jayamudirayet Nashta prayeshva badreshu Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati ruttamaha shloker Bhaktir bhavati naishthiki. We are reading today from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 21, text 18. This is a verse where the gopis of Vrindavan, remembering the song of Krishna's flute, are glorifying Sri Govardhan Hill as the best servant of Lord Hari. Hantaya madrira bala haridasa varyo yadrama krishna charanas parasha pramodah manantanoti sahago ganayostayorya Paniya suvas suyavas kandara kandamulehe. Translation. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. O my dear friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balram as well as their cows and cowherd friends with all kinds of necessities, caves, fruits, flowers, vegetables, water for drinking, and very soft grass. In this way, the hill offers respect to the Lord. Touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakayah Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutalehe Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatan Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Tarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namini Gauratuse Namaha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पातरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे हरे
Devotees are very enthusiastic to chant Hare Krishna. Good. After delivering the Brahmanas and the wives of the Brahmanas, this chapter in the Krishna book describes how Krishna encouraged his own personal family members and all the devotees in Vrindavan, the Brajabasis, to celebrate the festival of Govardhan Puja. Nanda Maharaj, the father of Lord Shri Krishna, who is an abode of kindness, simplicity, joy, one day, along with all his cowherd friends, his followers, made preparations to worship the king of the demigods, Lord Indra. When there was so much arrangements made with a lot of paraphernalia created to perform the yajna for Lord Indra, Krishna, with his own sweet innocence, came towards that Yajnasthali where all the paraphernalia was being collected, and he started speaking to his father Nanda Maharaj in a very respectful tone. He said, "Oh, honored one, my father, what is the name of this ceremony that you are performing? Which demigod are you trying to please? Which guru has given you this instruction? Which system are you following? And why are so many people in Vrindavan running around mechanically here and there? Very deep questions Krishna is asking his father. Each question is loaded. Because basically, Krishna is trying to probe a little deeper into Nanda Maharaj to convince Nanda Maharaj that he understands and he will need an answer for all this. Sometimes when children ask questions, most parents tell them, when you grow up, that time I will tell you. When you grow up, that time you will understand. Now, right now you are very small. It's a very interesting psychology. You ask any small child, are you small or big? What will the child say? I'm big. Because the child always wants to grow big. Because the child is always told that when you grow big, then you will understand. When you grow big, then you can do all kinds of activities. So the child always says, I want to grow big. Or the child will tell us, I am big. And you ask any grown-up man or woman, you want to be big or you want to be small? Oh, we want to go back to our childhood days. Very innocent days, sweet days. So Krishna, he is trying to convince Nanda Maharaj by the depth of his questions that I want to know the answer of why you are performing this yajna, for whom is it? If you think I am qualified and very tiny to understand the answers, then tell me in more details, because I have asked you so many questions. And if it is too confidential to reveal what this yajna is all about, then don't worry. I am a family member. What is the point in keeping secrets from family members? So please, please, Nanda Maharaj, you must answer my question. Now Nanda Maharaj, looking at the beautiful lotus face of Krishna, which was like a spotless moon on the earth, he smiled affectionately, revealing all his attractive, beautiful teeth. And the soft demeanor of his face resembled the nectar drops of milk. With such an experience, Nanda Maharaj lifted Krishna and put him on his lap. As easy as he could make it, he tried to explain to Krishna that, listen Krishna, our wealth is our cows. We are cowherds men, gopas. These cows, they graze on grass. Now the grass needs rains to grow. And the rains, they come from Indra. So it is a tradition that we follow to worship Lord Indra in gratitude for giving us all these grains, for all these rains which the grass eats, because of which the grass grows, which the cow eats, which finally the cow gives milk with, which we take, which is our wealth. These words, although logical, pricked Krishna's heart. Because Krishna, he did not want this worship to Indra happen. Krishna had also asked a question, in which scripture is it mentioned? So Nanda Maharaj, he understood that now Krishna is probing deeper. So Nanda Maharaj said, well, it is a tradition. This is one of the reasons why we find in India, the youth of India, unfortunately going away from spiritual life. Prabhupada said, the Westerners are so far away from Krishna, but they are running in the right direction. Indians sometimes are so close to Krishna. What is the difference? They are in the opposite direction. Sometimes. Many times. Especially when there are cricket matches. Anyway. One time His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, if I'm not mistaken, was in Kolhapur, one of those places in Maharashtra. And one gentleman, at the end of the lecture, he challenged Radhanath Swami. He said, why do we have to listen to Bhagavad Gita, Vedic philosophy, from you Americans? This is our philosophy. Why should we hear from you? So Maharaj, in his own personal, gentle, humble demeanor, looked at him and smiled. And just waited for a few seconds for the depth of his smile to be understood by the audience. And gradually, everybody got what he wanted to say. Maharaj said, just look at you. You are wearing pant and shirt. You are talking in English. The movies that you see are all Western oriented. The food that you eat, it's all coming from the West, the pizzas and the tacos and other things. What Indian is left in you except for the pride that you are holding? And all the people started laughing and clapping. He said, if you've taken so much from the West, we have come to fold our hands and beg you, please take Krishna consciousness also. No, that we don't want to take. That is our property anyways. So therefore Krishna asked, what is this tradition that you are following? And Nanda Maharaj could not give any specific understanding. He just said, well, like in Hindi they say, Hamare Purvajo ne kiya hai. So why are you doing? Sometimes Radha Gopinath Prabhu explains, in people's houses there are so many pictures of so many gods, goddesses, demigods, demigoddesses, their assistants, servants, servants of the servants, all kinds of pictures you find in the market, it's there. So much so he says that they start with Agarbati in the top left, and by the time they come down, the whole Agarbati is over. By chance, if I forget one, you know. Khichdi. So similarly, Nanda Maharaj could not give any very specific reason why he was performing this Indra Yajna. Now Krishna, he mesmerized. Now by the time this discussion was going on, all the other gopas, those who were performing so many services for the Indra Yajna, they also came close. They wanted to know what is happening between Krishna and Nanda Maharaj. What is this discussion taking place? So Krishna, by his sweet words, started mesmerizing the audience around him. He gave five specific reasons why Nanda Maharaj should not worship Indra with this paraphernalia. Rather, he should use the same paraphernalia for worshipping Govardhan Hill. For this purpose, Krishna started preaching the karma philosophy. Krishna said, Nanda Maharaj, Baba, it is the force of karma that determines the destiny of one's life. It's not the demigods who decide your destiny. So there is no need for a saintly person to worship demigods. Now see how sweetly Krishna is putting it. There is no need for a saintly person to worship demigods. That means he's telling Nanda Maharaj that you're a saintly person. And if you accept you're a saintly person, then you should not worship the demigods. Because saints use their intelligence to understand that it is the force of karma which determines one's destiny. Then Krishna qualifies his statement. He says, one may beg so many things from the demigods, but the demigods, they can only give those things which are destined to one by one's pious or impious deeds. They cannot give you anything more except for what you actually deserve by your own actions. The demigods, it is explained, are karma sachivaha. But the devotees, sadhavo dina vatsalaha. So karma sachivaha means they are the treasurers of our karma. That means whatever karma we have done, they keep the reaction stored with them and they give it to us in due course of time. So what is the need for worshipping them? If you do your karma properly, you will get the reactions. They cannot give you any bit more. And then Krishna, he concludes his argument by saying, only those who cannot control their senses, they glamorize the worship of demigods, and they say that demigods can award more than what one has worked to attain. Now this is an interesting point, huh? Generally, that which is glamorized is what gets attention. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada, he tells so many stories from the Padma Purana and other Puranas of how bhakti is so wonderful and such a magnanimous process. Especially in the month of Damodar Kartik that we are experiencing. It is said that the spiritual practices in this month, the results of which are multiplied hundreds of times. And if you perform them in Vrindavan or in a Krishna temple, then thousands of times. Amazing, isn't it? Imagine how much time it would take to chant 16,000 rounds. And what to speak of energy, and what to speak of taste. Just with the thought of it, 16,000 rounds. But chanting 16 rounds in the month of Damodar, in the association of devotees, in the temple, gives us the same benefit of chanting 16,000 times the holy names of the Lord. Or Srila Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Devotion that one time there was a sparrow that was running from a bird, a vulture, a predator, and the sparrow went round and round doing pradakshina around a Vishnu temple, trying to bewilder the vulture. Just at the third pradakshina, the vulture came closer to the sparrow and gobbled it up, ate it up, killed it. What happened? That sparrow immediately got a four-handed Vishnu form and went back to Godhead. The soul of the sparrow came out, immediately achieved the perfection of life and went back to Godhead. Why? Actually, if I'm not mistaken, the story probably talks about Garuda, who captured one of his prey and then became a four-handed form. That four-handed form sat on Garuda and Garuda took him back to Godhead. Anyway, the point is that because in the holy month this sparrow had done pradakshina of the temple of Vishnu before death, she got the result of achieving the perfection of life. Or we know the story of that mouse who was very hungry, and there was a lamp in front of the Lord that was burning. So this mouse thought that this is a bright piece of butter, and he came close. Lo and behold, what happened? Whiskers caught fire and the mouse was jumping up and down like that. So the Lord accepted as if the mouse is offering diya. Like morning and evening we offer Damodar Ashtakam, Deep Dan. So that very mouse went back to Godhead. So then Srila Prabhupada explains further in Nectar of Devotion that sometimes these stories may appear exaggeration. And then Prabhupada explains, even if it is exaggeration, it is not. But even if it is exaggeration, still it is beneficial for us to put our faith in devotional service, because Maya exaggerates sense gratification so much. That's the interesting point. That Maya, she exaggerates sense gratification in such wonderful ways that it tempts the living entity to enjoy within this world. There is no actual pleasure there, no real lasting pleasure. Then what is the attraction? Simply the glamorous razzle dazzle that Maya creates around it. So basically Krishna is telling that only those who cannot control their senses, they exaggerate that the demigods can give you so much. But the first argument he says is, the demigods can give you only that which you deserve according to your karma. So why worship the demigods? You just perform good karma. The second argument Krishna is giving Nanda Maharaj is that it is not a fact that wherever it rains, the cause of that is worshipping and pleasing Indra, who in turn sends the clouds. Krishna gives an example. He says, see, do the mountains and the oceans worship Indra? Of course not. But still they are full of water. So why does one need to worship Indra? In fact, the truth is that impelled by the mode of passion, the clouds pour rain everywhere. So it is not the demigods, it is the modes of material nature that are in control. So if we do our work according to whatever modes we have achieved, honestly, then why do we need to worship the demigods? The third argument Krishna is giving is, indeed, these monsoon rains, they actually bring mental distress and they make people weak and thin. So I don't think this rain is a mercy of somebody who is pleased. Probably Krishna knew that in the future a city called Bombay will be created, where there would be lashing rains which would trouble people so much. Sorry, Mumbai. And it's very interesting actually. Sometimes people ask that rains come due to yajna. So now in Mumbai, people are performing so much sinful activity. Why so much rain comes over here? isn't it? According to the scripture, Bhagavad Gita, Yajnat Bhavati Parjanyo, Yajna Karma Samudbhavah. The Parjanya, the rain, comes from Yajna. So in Mumbai, we don't find so much Yajna being performed, more sinful activity being performed. Then how there is sufficient rain in Mumbai? No, that is pious rain that comes from Yajna. That rain, it comes at night, floods the fields, satisfies them for water, and then that rain goes away in the day. But Mumbai rains have an amazing timing. Isn't it? Clear blue skies when you're about to leave your home for the office or wherever. As soon as you step out, downpour. And as soon as you enter the office, you look out, rain is gone. That rain has not come from Yajna. Anyway, so Krishna is saying that monsoons, rains, they bring mental distress, make people weak and thin. So it's not because of pleasing Indra that these rains are coming. The fourth reason that Krishna gives is that Nanda Maharaj, it is our nature to dwell in forests. We are Vrajvasis, Vrindavan, the forest of Vrindadevi. And we wander in the woods and hills all over the place. So since we never stay in one place, why perform Indra Yajna over here? Because the logic is, if the people of that particular place perform Indra Yajna, then that place Indra will send rain. But we are constantly moving. So let us not worship Indra here. No point. And ultimately, Krishna seals his arguments by saying, there are no scriptural injunctions to worship Indra as an independent lord. He is not the independent lord who sends the rains. It's not completely in his hands only. Therefore, Nanda Maharaj, you need not perform this Indra Yajna. So, five reasons Krishna is giving. The first one we saw was, it's our karma. The karma philosophy. It's not the demigods. They cannot give you anything more than your own karma. The second reason Krishna gave was, the cause of the rains is not worshipping Indra. Because the seas and the oceans, the mountains, they don't worship Indra. They're full of water still. The cause is simply the modes of material nature. So we should do our activities honestly according to those modes. Third is, the rains are not bringing pleasure to anyone. Simply mental distress make people thin and weak. So it's not a mercy of somebody who's pleased. And ultimately our nature is to move around. The fourth reason Krishna gives. So no point doing it here because tomorrow we may be somewhere else. And finally he says, it's never in any of the scriptures mentioned that one should worship the demigods independently. So this particular pastime is a very powerful pastime specifically for people living in India. Because in India, as we discussed, many people think that worshipping demigods is as good as worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna specifically performed this pastime to break this particular myth. Because generally Indians are very closely connected to tradition and they feel fearful to break those traditions even if it is not mentioned in the scripture. Sentimental following. Like one time there was a lady who was going to get married and just before her marriage she said, stop. So everybody thought, this lady is not wanting to get married. She's remembering her paramour. She'll run away from here. So they caught her. What happened? She said, no, nothing like that. Just that I don't see that cat in a basket. So people said, what cat in a basket? They said, no. Marriage day means there should be a cat and there should be a basket on the cat. So we forgot to arrange that paraphernalia. How can we complete this marriage without that? Anyway, they got a cat and they put a basket on top of it. After the marriage was over, some people, they tried to find the background of why this lady wanted it. And gradually they found that when her elder sister was getting married, at that time, there was one cat that was running around in the mandap. And the mother, to catch that cat, had put a basket over that cat. And she thought that probably this is a very auspicious thing. So in my marriage also, how can a marriage be without a cat in a basket? And then years down the line, it becomes a tradition. So Krishna, through this pastime, is breaking these traditions. Or otherwise, if people come to Krishna worship, they fear, oh, what if we don't worship that demigod? What if we don't worship that demigod? What will happen to us? So Krishna is giving faith to his devotees. Ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nishtyashah. He says, ananya, without any other deviation, one who serves me, worships me, ananya cheta satatam, constantly, tasyaham sulabham partha, he very easily achieves perfection of life. And to give conviction and faith to the devotees, to exclusively worship himself, Krishna, he performs this pastime of breaking Indra's pride, who is thinking he is the independent controller, and number two, giving conviction to the devotees, that if they surrender to Krishna alone, completely, then Krishna definitely protects his devotees. So what to do? So much paraphernalia has been arranged to worship Indra. Krishna says, you use the same paraphernalia to worship Govardhan. Because go means cow and vardhan means to increase. So it is by the mercy of this Govardhan that our cows are being fed, that the cows are being satisfied. So you wanted to do this yajna to satisfy the cows? Rather do it to Govardhan. Find brahmanas and devotees, send them invitations, bring them here and feed them with huge feasts of prasadam until they laugh and their faces beam with a brilliant garland of their blissful smiles. This is Krishna's direction of how to serve prasad. Till people laugh and their faces are beaming with the brilliant garlands of their sweet smiles. Sometimes in affection we serve so much prasad till people start crying. That is not the goal. Till people laugh and they're happy, jolly. Second thing Krishna says to perform worship is to please everyone by making an annakoot, that is a hill of food, with thick dals, varieties of aromatic vegetables, very palatable sweet cakes, rice, surrounded by pools of unlimited sweet rice. Wish we were there. And then finally Krishna says, after all that, circumambulate Govardhan Hill with all your cows, calves, bulls in a very festive manner, and in this way worship Govardhan. Nanda Maharaj did exactly that. Huge feasts of prasad was made. Mountains of them were kept for Govardhan to accept. Just at that time, Krishna personally assumed a huge, gigantic form, the form of Govardhan, and he accepted all this bhoga, all this prasad. And then, so there were two Krishnas at that time, baby Krishna and the huge form of Krishna who was accepting all the bhoga. Then Krishna said, we should all now pay obeisances to Govardhan Parvat. So in essence, Krishna was paying obeisances to himself and teaching all the Brajvasis to also pay obeisances to Krishna. And then they circumambulated the Govardhan Hill, huge festivities, kirtans. It was a very ecstatic experience. All the Brajvasis singing the glories of Krishna and fed with sumptuous prasad, felt satisfied, went back to their homes. Everyone was blissful. The atmosphere was surcharged with festivities. Except for one person. Who was that? Indra. Indra, he developed a headache due to being ignored and forgotten by the Brajvasis. Burning with rage, he called his assistants, the clouds, and he said, the intelligence of these cowherd men has become just like the animals they tend. Listening to the words of this little child, they have ignored my worship, which they have been doing for so many years. I will teach them a lesson. So Indra, he was so much agitated by anger that he did not just call some ordinary clouds. He called those clouds that are used at the time of universal destruction, the Samvartaka clouds. To encourage them, he glanced upon them with appreciation and affection. Now this is an interesting management principle. If you want to encourage somebody, then you glance at that person with appreciation, very good, person feels very happy. And appreciate them also, glorify them. Now this is the principle by which you can please devotees also. You can appreciate devotees, glorify devotees, you can glance at them with affection, dance with them in joy. Sometimes, after becoming devotees, some people complain. They say, we were much happier when we were guests over here. We used to get Mahaprasad, special laddus, and people would smile at us very much. Now that we have become devotees, nobody smiles at us. Now they say, do this service, that service. And previously they used to give us time, they used to ask us, so how many rounds have you chanted, are you happy? No, the fact is, we need to encourage and appreciate even devotees. In fact, all the more. Because devotees have given up all their attachments in the material world. On a New Year day, like today, in the middle of the afternoon, so many of us have assembled over here. Most people would be busy with their family members, friends, making plans to go out, to enjoy in the material world. So devotees have given up so much. So if Indra, for his materialistic purpose, could appreciate and encourage the Samvartaka clouds by glancing upon them with joy, with encouragement, with appreciation, affection, how much more as devotees we should appreciate and show affection to the devotees? By that, Krishna will give his glance of affection and appreciation to us. That's the secret. Anyway, Indra, he gave a pep talk to the Samvartaka clouds, boosting them, boosting their confidence. He said, you have an unadulterated mood in you to destroy the whole creation. But this assignment that I am giving you involves only one small region. Go, destroy the Brajbasis along with their cows, along with their property, and I will follow you just behind on my Airavat with my thunderbolt. Soon, vast banks of clouds appeared like a huge patch of moss in the sky, blocking out the sun, covering all of Vraja in darkness. Even an axe and a thunderbolt, it is described, could not cut the darkness of these clouds. That thick a layer of clouds covered the whole of Vrindavan. At that time, the Brajbasis, going through so much anxiety and difficulty, they ran to Krishna. They said, Krishna, Krishna, please protect us. You are the one who told us to worship Govardhan Hill. Now see what has happened. Indra has become so angry and he has sent this huge bank of clouds. There is flashing of lightning in the sky like the forked tongue of a furious snake. There are pounding hailstones which are pulverizing the life out of the trees of Vraja. In fact, these clouds are roaring ferociously as they release massive columns of rain which are as thick as the foot of an elephant. Krishna, you saved us at one time from the forest fire which was devastating us. Now please save us from this rain. Look at your cows and your bulls. The poor cows, they are shivering due to this fierce winds and rains. And the bulls, just look at them. These hailstorms are falling on the humps of their back, bursting into pieces and scattering like pearls all over the place, hurting the bulls on their backs, on their humps. These angry bulls, when they look up in the sky, their eyes are becoming wet and they're roaring in frustration. Please, Krishna, do something about your devotees. So Krishna saw this as a wonderful opportunity to perform an interesting pastime. He immediately ran to Govardhan Parvat, Govardhan Hill, and with his right hand he lifted the Govardhan Hill. He called all the Brajbasis, Nanda Maharaj, Yashodamai, the Gopas, the Gopis, the cows, the bulls. And he said, do not fear. Come under this Govardhan Hill and we shall have a very wonderful shelter by the mercy of Govardhan from the anger of Indra. Now when all the devotees, the Brajbasis, came under Govardhan Hill, some devotees explained that just to give confidence to Mother Yashoda and all the Gopas who are in parental rasa, who are thinking Krishna is their child, Krishna, he shifted the hill from his right hand to his left hand. See, to mere baaye haath ka kamaal hai. I don't think that this will fall down. And just to give them a little more confidence, it is explained, Krishna lifted the hill a little bit and held it with the little finger of his left hand. Now the left hand finger for a right-handed person is supposed to be the weakest part of the body. What can you hold with a left hand? That also with the little finger. And Krishna wanted to show his supreme opulence as all powerful, that he could lift Govardhan Hill with a little finger of his left hand. Now when all the Prajbasis came there, they clearly saw a valley below Govardhan, which was dazzling attractively in the personal shine of Krishna and could accommodate all the devotees along with their cows and their bulls. The Samvartaka clouds have come, they have started performing their activities, and behind them Indra comes with the mood of a determined fighter. The furious storms that he created tried to blow away Giriraj and severely hurt him with their winds. Sri Hari, Krishna, with his effulgent jewel-like body, washed by the moon-like smiling face of his, instantly removed the sufferings, the hardships of Govardhan from the lightning bolts of Indra, from the heavy hailstorms that were falling, the profuse rains that were hitting Govardhan, and the highly piercing winds. Govardhan could not feel any pain or any difficulty because he was in ecstasy simply by the touch of the little finger of Krishna. So outside the hill, there were fearsome thunderbolts in the sky crisscrossing, looking like creepers of light dangling in the air. Dark clouds loaded with rain were flashing occasional rainbows and creating huge storms. This was happening outside the hill. And within the shelter of the hill, beneath the hill, there was another type of storm happening. The cloud-like Mukunda, Shri Krishna, who is like a beautiful black monsoon cloud, was being made more beautiful by the steady streaks of lightning which was experienced between the love of Krishna, between Krishna and his devotees in the form of pure love. See, generally in the daytime, Krishna would be in the forest with his devotees, with the gopas, with the cows. So Nanda Maharaj, all the elderly gopis, all the young gopis, all the Brajbasis, they would miss Krishna like anything, because Krishna would be in the forest. So the forest dwellers, the plants, the gopas, they would be having a great time because Krishna would be with them. But the other devotees would be in separation. And in the evenings, when Krishna would come back, at that time Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, the elderly gopis, they would be very happy because Krishna would now take his meal, he would give them darshan, he would speak sweet words with them. But the gopas would feel very bad because they would have to go back to their own homes. They would be separated from Krishna. And at night, the gopis would feel great pleasure because Krishna would perform rasa dance. But everybody else, they felt separation from Krishna. But here was an opportunity where all the devotees and all the five rasas, those in Shanta Rasa, the cows, the brahmanas, the other devotees, they were astonished by the ecstatic beauty of Krishna's presence. Those who were in Dasiras, they had so much opportunity to perform service to Krishna by fanning him, by wiping his perspiration, creating so much, assisting Mother Yashoda in cooking over there for Krishna's pleasure. Those who were Krishna's friends, oh, they joked. There are so many beautiful pastimes explained in the scriptures where they joked, they enthused, encouraged Krishna with their laughing words. In fact, Madhu Mangal and other Sudama, Shridama, the friends of Krishna, they said, Krishna, you may be tired. Now just give the Govardhan Hill to us. See, every day we defeat you in wrestling, you know. So if you can lift it, we can also lift it. And sometimes in jest, Krishna would just bring the Govardhan Hill little down when some gopas would try to put their sticks to hold the Govardhan Hill. And they would fall by the weight of Govardhan. And Bhattu, the Brahman friend of Krishna, he said, Krishna, don't fool people that you are holding this Govardhan Hill by your own strength. The fact is that it is the Brahma Tejas of the Brahmanas. It's my Brahma Tejas which is empowering you to hold this hill. Just see what will happen if I remove my Brahma Tejas. And Mother Yashoda gets angry with Bhattu. He says, you uncontrolled fellow, your senses are gone wild. What are you talking? My son is in so much distress. And in this way, they were joking, laughing and having a very good time under Govardhan. And the gopis, they had an opportunity to look at Krishna with their love-filled sidelong glances throughout the day and throughout the night for 7 continuous days. So beneath the hill, there was another storm created by the cloud of Mukunda and the streaks of lightning, which is compared to the love between Krishna and his devotees. The rainbow was the beautiful peacock feather of Krishna, and streams of Krishna's beauty flowed like rains that submerged the devotees. The only difference was that beneath the hill there was a brilliant Kaustubha jewel which was as effulgent as the sun. So there was bright lightning around, and outside it was dark. Sometimes foolish Mayavadis, people who think that God is one, or even when Krishna comes into this material world, he has to come with a material body and he also suffers karma, and the poor fellow has gone to hell because of doing politics on the field of Kurukshetra, something like that. They create their own philosophies. Sometimes when we explain to them that the goal of our life is to go back home, back to Godhead, to love Krishna eternally, or if Krishna desires, to come back again into this world to perform his mission, they say, what will you do in the spiritual world? You'll what? You look at Krishna's face? Krishna will look at you? Then you'll become bored. No, it is not like that. Just before describing Krishna's pastime in the 10th canto, Shukadeva Goswami introduces Krishna's pastimes. And what an amazing introduction he gives at the end of the 9th canto. He says, Yasyananam makara kundala charu karna brajat kapola subhagam savilasahasam nityotsavam natatripur darshibhi pibantyo naryo narascha mudita kupita nimescha. Beautiful description as an introduction to Krishna's pastimes. Yasyananam makara kundala charu karna. Yasyananam, his forehead is broad. Makara kundala charu karna, and his ears, charu is very sweet. The sweetness of his ears, whose ears? Krishna's ears, is enhanced further with shark shaped earrings. And when Krishna looks here and there with his earrings, he looks here and there, his earrings move to and fro, and they reflect off his beautiful cheeks. Brajat kapola subhagam savilasahasam, and the beauty of his lotus face is enhanced even further by the sweet smile of Krishna. Savilasahasam, his smile is full of joy, vilas, so much so that it satisfies everyone. In fact, the Bhagavatam explains that Krishna's smile, when meditated upon, can dry away the entire oceans of tears that the living entity cries within this material world. So when one is suffering in this material world of birth and death, in this ocean of birth and death, this entire ocean of sorrow is dried up when one simply sees the beautiful smiling face of Krishna. And then there is more description given of what happens to the devotees when they see the smiling face of Krishna. Nityotsavam natatripur darshibhi pibantyo. Nitya utsavam. This darshan of Krishna is an eternal festival. Nitya utsavam. It's not that you look at Krishna, Krishna looks at you, and then okay, now I'm tired. It's not like in the material world. You know, sometimes, what do they call it? Infatuation? When boys and girls meet in college, they meet over a candlelight dinner, your eyes look like beautiful lakes. Something like that, whatever. You know. Because they say love is blind, no? You know, after some time, then the same, they are meeting in divorce court, so angry with each other, their eyes look like fiery coals. So this is not the experience that one has with Krishna. It's Nitya Utsavam, it's an eternal festival. As Krishna sees his devotees becoming pleased by taking his darshan, Krishna feels happy. By seeing Krishna happy, the devotees become more happy. As the devotees become happy, they become more beautiful. Seeing the devotees more happy and beautiful, Krishna becomes more happy and beautiful. When the devotees see that Krishna has become more happy and beautiful, they become more ecstatic and more beautiful. And in this way, this is an eternal festival of ever-increasing joy. Nityotsavam na tatripur. Na tatripur, it does not satisfy. What? Devotional life does not satisfy? Then why are we here for? Sorry. As Devamrit Maharaj says, this is going to remain a mission unfulfilled. You will never be satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Why? Because it is an eternal experience of joy. See, material life satisfies but does not satiate. That means very quickly sense gratification it satiates you. It finishes but does not satisfy. Spiritual life, it will satiate you but not satisfy you. That means we will feel satiated, complete within ourselves in our service to Krishna. But it's not that it's finished. It will eternally go on increasing. Na tatripur darshipi pibantyo. One drinks the darshan of Krishna like this. Daryo narascha mudita kupita nimescha. And the beauty is that Krishna's beauty, his attraction, is for both. Naryo narascha. The gopas and the gopis become very attracted. Now in this world, if there is a man who attracts a woman, it's normal. If he attracts a man, they are trying to fight, that this is also normal. But if he attracts both, then we don't know who is not normal. But here is Krishna, who is transcendental, who attracts the cows, the animals, the birds, the men, the women, everyone. Because he is the source of all beauty. Naryo narascha mudita. Satisfies them, ecstatic. Kupita nimescha, and at the same time the devotees are very angry, not with him but with Brahma, because he created these eyelids. For these few seconds that these eyelids close, the Brajbasis are feeling we cannot see Krishna, and therefore we are so upset, we are so frustrated that this beautiful form of Krishna cannot be seen when our eyelids close for these few seconds. Who is this foolish creator who created eyes like this which close from second to second? That is their intense attraction towards Krishna. So two types of storms are going on. The storms outside, created by Indra, and the storm inside, created by Krishna's personal beauty. That is why it is explained that devotees are like an ocean. Huge, deep, cannot be moved by the huge rivers of desires that are entering into the ocean. The ocean cannot be moved. But when the moon rises, then the ocean goes mad. Similarly, the devotee's heart is like an ocean, peaceful, satisfied, unagitated by the modes of material nature. But when the moon of Krishna Chandra rises, then the heart of the devotee overflows, goes mad, in ecstasy, in love of trying to serve Krishna. So that storm is taking place below the Govardhan Hill. After 7 days, when Indra tried his best, all his clouds were finished, tired, up to the point of death, struggling. Indra's pride was smashed. And Vrajvasis, they saw that now the clouds were receding outside. The bright sunshine had started coming again. And they felt as if they had emerged from a deep, dark well to light of good fortune. Immediately after that, we know that Indra comes along with the demigods to worship Lord Krishna and beg his forgiveness. However, before doing that, Indra knows that if I go on my own, I have committed such a blunder, such an offense, that Krishna is not going to look at me. I am finished forever. See, it is explained that there are six types of offenses that we can commit to devotees. And amongst the six types, one of them is not to feel happy when we see a devotee. That is also an offense. That means by seeing a devotee, one should feel jubilant. If one does not feel so happy and ecstatic, it's an offense against a devotee. And what to speak of dveshti, hanti, to envy them, to blaspheme them, to kill them, that's the worst possible offense. And Indra did not try to kill one devotee. He tried to annihilate all the Vrajbasis along with the cows. Can you imagine the weight of Indra's offense? So Indra was very fearful. Finally, he took shelter of Surabhi Devi, the cow, knowing well that she is very dear to Krishna. And when Krishna sees Surabhi, Krishna will be so pleased, smiling, that he might forgive me also. Then of course there is an abhishek done by Indra, Airavat, all the demigods, and they finally installed Krishna as the original Indra. So Indra is not a demigod who is supremely powerful, who is the supreme controller of rain. Krishna, he broke Indra's pride and made him realize that he is simply an insignificant servant of Krishna, who has been given that position by Krishna's mercy to perform some service to him. So Krishna performed this pastime to encourage his devotees, to give them full protection, to have a huge festival. He used this opportunity and also to break the pride of Indra. So in this present verse that we are seeing from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, some acharyas explain that this verse was specifically spoken by Srimati Radharani. Now please try to understand the gravity of the situation. Srimati Radharani is the best devotee of Krishna. In fact, if anybody has any devotion, that devotion is a small particle of Srimati Radharani's devotion. She is devotional service personified. And here the best devotee is glorifying Govardhan Hill. What does she say? Hantaya madrira bala haridasa varyo yadrama krishna charanas parasha pramodaha. Hanta means an expression of joy. Hanta ayam adrir, this hill. Now this verse has been spoken by the gopis. These verses are spoken by the gopis when they are in Vrindavan and Krishna has gone with his friends. They are in their homes and Krishna has gone in with his friends to the forest of Vrindavan. So at that time the gopis are exclaiming Hanta with great joy. They are expressing Ayam Adrir, this hill. Now this hill means as if it's very close. Generally you say, no, this boy. If he's close to you, you point like that, this boy. Or you would say, that boy. So Hantayam Adrir, it is explained that this very hill here, Abala, Haridasa Varyo, he is the best amongst all the devotees of the Lord. Why the gopis are feeling this hill? Because they are so much thinking of Krishna, they are so much absorbed in their devotional service to Krishna, that they are feeling that they are right close to Krishna right now. That's why they are saying this hill, where Krishna is taking the cows for grazing. And then they exclaim that Govardhan is the best of the devotees, Haridasa Varya. Now Shukadeva Goswami in the Bhagavatam explains a few Haridas, some great servants of the Lord. We are also trying to become servants of the Lord, so we can learn from Govardhan Hill how we can become actual servants of the Lord. So So among the Haridas, the devotees of the Lord, Shukdev Goswami explains, one is Maharaj Yudhishthir. Why Yudhishthir Maharaj? Because Yudhishthir Maharaj was such a great devotee that not only he personally practiced Krishna consciousness, he encouraged all his family members to become devotees. Not only that, he encouraged and created facilities for the entirety of Hastinapur and the entire world to practice Krishna consciousness by performing the Rajasuya Yajna, by installing Krishna and offering Agra Puja to him as the best person, the supreme personality of Godhead. So he is a very great devotee of the Lord. Another great devotee is Uddhav, Haridas. Because Uddhav also was such a confidential servant of the Lord that he would know the mind of Krishna. In fact, so much so that Krishna would even take guidance from Uddhav. Counseling, bona fide, from Uddhav. What to do in specific situations. And even Narada and others are Haridas, great devotees. But here Govardhan is explained as the best amongst the servants of the Lord, Haridasa Varyo. And who is telling this? Srimati Radharani herself. Now, if I say that this person is very rich, now you may take it with a grain of salt, because I am a beggar. I don't own anything. At least I'm not supposed to. But if the Tatas or some very rich person comes and says, this is a rich man, then one should take seriously, because they know what it means to be rich. So here Srimati Radharani is glorifying Govardhan as the best amongst the devotees. She's already one, the greatest devotee, and she is glorifying Govardhan like that. Why? Because number one, the first reason is
Yadrama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramodaha.
Pramodaha means jubilance or ecstasy, because Govardhan feels great pleasure in serving the Lord. That is the first reason why Govardhan is being called as the best of the devotees, Haridasa Varyo. See, everyone may be serving the Lord, but some people, one time Shyamananda Prabhu said that when we are serving, we feel a kind of grudge in the heart. Why me? Why I have to perform this service? So service is going on, but there is no ecstasy in the heart, because there is grudge. Here we find Pramodaha. Govardhan is performing service but with so much ecstasy. So what is the proof that a servant is actually serving properly the master? We are all trying to practice Krishna consciousness. What is the proof that we are actually practicing? The proof is that we will feel this ecstasy. We will feel this joy in performing devotional service. Pramodaha. So the trees which are standing straight on Govardhan are a sign of Govardhan's hair standing in ecstasy in trying to serve Krishna. So when the master is pleased, then the servant is very happy. When the servant is pleased, the master is happy. This is perfect reciprocation of love. In this material world, there is a relationship of servant and master, but there is very little love. Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book, if the master is paying 5,000 rupees to the servant, then the master tries to extract work worth 50,000 rupees. And if the servant is receiving 5,000 rupees as salary, then the servant tries to work only worth 3,000 rupees. Other than that, he goes off to sleep. So both are actually trying to exploit each other. Every relationship in this material world may have some love, but that love is tainted by exploitation with some personal selfish desires. And therefore, no so-called love in this world can give complete satisfaction. One time, one devotee, he was looking outside the window. So Prabhupada tapped him from behind. He said, what are you looking at? Prabhupada, there are so many beautiful girls down who are walking. Very frank, you know, sometimes Prabhupada's early devotees were quite frank with him. You know. So Prabhupada said, so, do you love them? He said, yes. He said, yes, I love some of these beautiful girls. Prabhupada said, no. With a disgusting expression on his face, he said, no. Love means love for Krishna. Everything else in this material world is tainted with some kind of exploitation. We want the beauty, we want the money, we want something from that person. So we say, I love you, but what we mean is, I want this from you. It's very subtle. Love means sacrifice, means to give. But actually, like one time in a college, one boy was telling me, oh, you may say like that, but I have divine love for my girlfriend. I was actually convinced, you know, that you have divine love. Actually, most people are convinced that their love is divine. Yeah? So I asked him, why? He said, oh, she's so beautiful. So if that beauty goes away, if that person is burnt, will you have the same love? Yes, of course. He said that, but he himself knew with the expression on his face and the feeling in his heart that no, it is not possible. Because love means service, unconditional service, sacrifice. Anything tainted with one's own motivations to enjoy is not pure love. And that will not satisfy the person. Yenatma suprasidati. Ahaituki apratihata. Yenatma suprasidati. When that love is reposed towards Krishna, number one. Number two, it's unconditional. And number three, it is uninterrupted. Ahaituki apratihata. Only that loving devotional service can satisfy the soul. Yenatma suprasidati. So that is the expression of Govardhan. He is serving, but he is serving with great amount of love. And the proof is he is feeling ecstasy. He is not feeling any kind of grudge. Why I have to serve? Second reason why Govardhan is the best of the servants is because he gives his whole body for the service of Krishna. Not only does he give his body, manam tanoti sahago ganayostayoryat, he even gives his heart and soul, his ego. Manam tanoti. He is paying his obeisances. Third reason, not just to Krishna, sahago ganayostayoryat, along with the cows, go ganayo, the cows, the gopas, the gopis. So the third reason that Govardhan is very special, because Govardhan has understood the secret of how to please Krishna, which is to love and serve his devotees. It's a very important secret that we need to imbibe in our lives on this day by the mercy of Giri Govardhan. That it's not just Krishna. Sometimes in India, you know, people have this experience. They just come directly to the deities and he said, I have a relationship with you directly. Me and Krishna. But here, Govardhan Parvat is showing that he is paying obeisances and respect and service not only to Krishna, but to also the devotees of the Lord. How does he serve his devotees? Paniya suyavasa kandara kanda mulai. Paniya, by offering water to wash hands, crystal clear, beautiful waters. Suyavasa, soft grass for the cows to eat and also for sacrifices to perform. Kandara, the caves in Govardhan, which are beautiful rooms for the pastimes of Krishna and his devotees, which are very cooling in the hot summers and are very warm in the cold winters. And Kandamule, many nice roots, fruits, minerals, flowers for the devotees to decorate Krishna. So that means, number one, we saw that Govardhan is the best devotee because he performs service in love, not in a grudging mood. Number two, he not only gives his whole body, but he also gives his emotions, his heart and soul, by paying obeisances. Number three, not only to Krishna, but he knows the secret of pleasing Krishna by pleasing his devotees. And number four, Govardhan is also giving all his personal resources. Prabhupada says sometimes people come to Vrindavan in old age to retire. And they say, we are taking shelter of Vrindavan. So they give all their money to their children, to their wives, to all their relatives, and then come to take shelter of Vrindavan as beggars. That means they have actually come to take from Vrindavan in their old age. So Prabhupada says, no, a devotee is one who not only gives his body, his heart and soul, his resources, everything that he has. Manasa deho geho, jo kichu mor, arpilu tuva pade, nanda kishor. My mind, my body, my family, my resources, whatever I have, my Lord, is offered at your lotus feet. That is pure devotional service. And finally, in conclusion, this verse tells us something very interesting. Govardhan appears in two forms, in the forms of Krishna, in the form of his own devotee. Because Krishna appeared as Govardhan and Krishna ate up all the bhoga that the devotees had offered. So Govardhan is Krishna. But here in this verse, the gopis are describing Govardhan as the greatest devotee of Krishna.
Hantaya madrira bala haridasa varyo.
Abala, haridas, varyo. You are the greatest devotee of Krishna. So one time they asked Giriraj Maharaj, what is the truth? Is Govardhan Krishna? A manifestation of Krishna personally? Or is Govardhan Krishna's devotee? So Giriraj Maharaj answered very beautifully, he is both. But we as devotees, practicing devotees, prefer to respect and worship Govardhan as a devotee. Why? Because you can get more mercy from a devotee than you can get from Krishna. That is why in this verse, although Srimati Radharani knows that Govardhan is Krishna, she and the gopis prefer to respect Govardhan as a devotee of Krishna. In fact, when Krishna himself came in the Dwapar Yuga and performed so many pastimes, he exchanged love with his devotees, but he did not give love of Godhead to many people. Very few, hardly anyone. Therefore, the same Krishna came in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As a devotee, then he could unlimitedly distribute love of Godhead to everyone. So Krishna experienced the zenith of all rasas, Madhurya Ras in Vrindavan. But that same Krishna came in Kali Yuga as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience a rasa higher than the Madhurya Ras, which is the Audhurya Ras. That means he experienced Madhurya, and higher than that, free distribution of that love of God to anyone and everyone without seeing their qualifications, with only one price, the intense greed and eagerness to receive it. That's it. So we all have assembled over here with this one prayer in our heart, amongst many others, that please, oh, the greatest devotees of the Lord, Shri Govardhan Parvat, Govardhan Hill, please, please, we beg at your lotus feet, kindly give us a drop of your mercy by which we can also offer our body, our mind, our resources, not only to Krishna, but to Krishna's devotees, which is the secret of pleasing you. So with this wonderful example that Govardhan, Giri Govardhan has set for us, with this prayerful mood in our heart, let us continue our festival of now performing Pradakshina of Giri Govardhan. Thank you.